Good morning, everyone. A big thank you to Andy and Lina for leading us through, and especially from Paul and I. It's been really great this morning just to be able to sort of sit with you in the Zoom meeting rather than leading and all that goes with that. So really thank you for that, and they've led really well. And we're looking forward over the next few weeks and months, hopefully not too many months, next few weeks, to seeing a few more of you stepping up and leading through the meeting. So watch this space. And I also wanted to give a big shout out to the team, not team, to the guys who helped Lucy out in her garden, and especially Bradley and Jacob, our young guys. And I wanted to say that because it's who we are, isn't it, really? It's about being a community. It's about being loving our community. It's about loving each other. And it's about doing that practically. So I'm really, really excited when I see that sort of thing happening, and I'd love to see more of that, and of us finding ways to reach out differently to our communities. It's these small acts that it says in Matthew, doesn't it, that we don't, you know, we're a light on a hill. This is the way we can be a light on a hill. So yeah, thank you, and for this morning so far, Nay, for the worship. I love that song, The Blessing. He is with you. He is for you. He is for you. I think John Richards posted earlier in the week one on our family chat, the blessing sung in Arabic languages, and that, you know, even though you don't understand the language, it still gets you, doesn't it? You still cry and you still weep because there's such an anointing on that song at the moment. To know that God is for us in these strange times, that He is for us. He is for us. So this morning I wanted to press pause on our teaching series, and for us to take some time out, a selah, if you like, as it says in the Psalms, to think about what's God been saying to us? What is God saying to us? What's God saying inside us, and what's God saying out there in the world? And it's been quite a time, hasn't it, over the last couple of weeks out there in the world, and I think it's a real time of uncovering, as I'd said last week. And we wanted to, if you like, just have a 6-month check-in. At the beginning of the year, there were various quite clear, strong words brought to us from Kerry Davis, from Paul, from perhaps myself, from others. And they were words around ruthless elimination of hurry, that we worship a Jesus-looking God. There were words around silence, solitude, Sabbath. And I think they were coming from lots of different sources, and many of us read, or are still reading in my case, the book by John Mark Comer of that title, A Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, and how we would do that, and how addicted many of us are to just the busyness of life, to screens, to phones, to stuff, to doing, and struggle to allow our thoughts to settle. And I wanted to give us time this morning to do just that, just to settle, just to have a little think, just to allow God to speak to you. So, yeah, I'm doing a bit of talking, but really what I want you to do this morning is to think, well, what's the Lord saying to me? What's God doing? What's God saying? And 6 months ago, or 3 or 4 months ago, when we heard those words, when God was beginning to speak to us about how can you live a more countercultural lifestyle, who would have known that we would find ourselves now in this global pandemic, in the words of Russell Brand, forced into a monastic corner? And I don't believe for one moment, in fact, I know for one moment, that God did not cause this pandemic and God did not allow this pandemic. But what we do know is that God will speak through any situations that we find ourselves in. And that as we're in this gradual easing of lockdown, it's important that we ask God and we say, what are you saying? And so this morning, I've just got a couple of thoughts on that. I asked you, a few of you on the family chat, a couple of questions. And I said to you, what's been hard about lockdown? And what change do you want to carry forward as lockdown is eased, as we're moving out? And I'll caveat that. I know that lockdown is not easy for everyone. I know that lockdown is easier if you have resources, wealth, space, more people around you. I know that. I know that lockdown it can be very hard, or is being very hard for some of us, or some people. If you're on your own, if you're struggling financially, if you know, there's a lot of worries that have come crowded in. So I do want to caveat everything I say this morning around that. So I asked these couple of questions, and some of you very kindly emailed and your responses back to me, and the wonderful Peter Nelson, big shout out to Peter, has compiled them for me in this video.
I would say human contact, extended human contact, so not just Zoom calls and video calls and all that stuff through a screen, but actually meeting people or getting together with people for an extended period of time.
Having friends and family in my home, and also going to the homes of my friends and family.
This week I've really started to miss singing with other people. I can do a bit of worship on my own, and I can listen to music on YouTube and watch the amazing videos that are going round. But I just would love to be able to worship God alongside others, belting out some big songs.
So what I miss the most is being able to go see my family, especially my new baby niece, who was born literally just before we got locked down. So I haven't met her yet, and I miss just booking a flight and going to see them and to meet her and snuggle her pretty little face.
Well, for me, it's that contrast that used to be there between what I do during my days and what I do in the evenings, between what I do during the week and what I do at weekends. Going to see my mates, meeting up with the Barley brothers, going to football, going down and spending time with God in the prayer space.
I have missed contact with my friends and family, and just having the freedom to go about and see people without really thinking about what I'm doing.
I'm missing the variety in who I see, where I go, what I eat.
You see my friends face to face and my family, and not being able to give them a hug. It's been so hard.
I've missed the possibility of having friends visiting from South Africa. I had a friend who planned to come and couldn't, so that was sad. Really miss my mum. I'd love to be able to get her here. I haven't seen her for a year and a half, so that's quite tough.
I have missed being able to see my sister in person. She's really, really ill at the moment, and I haven't been able to see her for many weeks. Now I can see her, it's from a distance, and I am really missing being able to wrap my arms around her and give her a huge hug and hold on to her while I pray for her.
For me, without a doubt, it's getting out and about, seeing people in person, going to my exercise classes in person, sort of perusing the shops, just that kind of freedom.
I have missed face-to-face time with friends, being so near yet so far.
Seeing more people other than my clients, which actually have kept me sane. I miss church and worshipping together. The horizon of seeing Nadia this year is vanishing, and I find that really hard.
Being able to hug the grandchildren and just being with people, really, I suppose.
I do miss the face-to-face interactions with family, friends and work colleagues.
Not actually having that weekly time of going in and being with everybody in church and worshipping and actually feeling the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God in the way that we do together, I found that really hard.
As you know, we've recently had a friend who died, and that feeling of not being able to hug his family just somehow feels wrong. So that's the biggest thing I find hardest. It's the isolation from friends and family and just people in general.
I miss having a workplace that's PPE free. PPE is absolutely necessary, but I really feel for my work colleagues who have to wear PPE and especially masks all day, and they get sores behind their ears. So it makes their job more difficult. It makes it uncomfortable, especially in the heat.
I think those times of utter peace and quiet and stillness that I've experienced a lot of.
The thing that I'm in no hurry to get back to and will be quite happy to lose is unnecessary travel, particularly unnecessary travel to meetings that could be virtual.
To spend more time here in this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place that I get to live in. And not hurry and not go so many places and just do less.
Not getting in my car so much. It's been great walking more and not having to drive around so much, both myself and my family.
I've been out more regularly than I ever have been before. Taking the dog for a walk, riding my bike, just going for a walk myself. And so I just really want to hold on to that time and that space, being in the beauty of God's creation, to pause and to think and to reflect and to pray and to spend time with God each day.
People's open to spirituality, people interested in church and prayer. I would love to see that continue. I'd like to see a renewal in our country.
I think I'd probably say togetherness. Obviously, like most people, I seem to be FaceTiming or Zooming with my family every day, which never used to happen. I know my neighbours a lot better than I ever did. So the whole idea of togetherness, I'd like to continue.
Yeah, I really love that my children are not stressed. They're doing well with their schoolwork at home, and there's just less pressure on them, and I'd love to hold on to that if possible.
Something that I've really valued in lockdown is that although work's carried on being busy, I haven't been rushing around all over the place, and there's been a stillness that's come into me, and I really want to hold on to that.
Having my husband at home, so they used to travel and be away Monday to Friday often, you know, being able to have evening meals with someone else every day of the week is just fantastic, and I'd really like to be able to hold on to that.
More daily walks with John, more Zoom time with friends to keep in touch, and do Pilates online as well.
I think what I've valued is a quiet roads going from client's house to client's house. That's been good.
I love the peace and quiet, which is obviously due to no traffic, etc. And it's such a lovely, clean atmosphere. And I think that follows through in the way people are being with each other locally, looking out for each other and, just being generally kind.
I've enjoyed spotting incredible detail in nature, which I so easily miss in the busyness of life.
Having the children around has been brilliant. I mean, that's just been unexpected extra time with them, which we would never have thought that we would have had. And it's been really, really good and really enjoyable to have them around. We've had some really, really good times together in with all the restrictions that there has been around it. I've also really liked the fact that I've been able to have the time to grow vegetables. And so they're all coming on now in the garden. I've got two beds laid out and other bits and pieces all over the place.
I guess the thing that I would like to keep is that some sense of work-life balance, of being more available at home, of just being more available locally in the area I live.
I've been impressed with my local community. They have been so thoughtful and considerate. They have been shopping for the self-isolating and looking in on neighbours. They've also been donating to One Can Trust, which is something that has just really taken off at this time. I'd like to see that continue.
I want Sarah to continue cutting my hair. She does it so well, and it's saving me an absolute fortune, and she doesn't even want a tip. And finally, I'm loving our new habit of a drink together at gin o'clock.
Fantastic. And there's some key themes there, weren't there? And I'm listening to it. I found it quite hard to hear some pain, sadness and loss in there. There was a real longing for a physical and emotional proximity again. There's a lot of missing of freedoms and the contrasts that we take for granted in life. And there was a real missing of worship and prayer together. there's a lot of loss out there, and this is only a very small snapshot of a community, isn't it? But I feel it's probably a similar story. If you took this piece of cake across the whole community and cut it, you would probably see similar themes. And these ideas of wanting to hold on to some stuff that we've discovered here, the peace, the solitude, the quiet, stillness, less hurrying, less rushing, less travelling around all over the place, and more togetherness, more time with family, friends, communities, neighbours, and also keeping connected via Zoom and Zoom church, and having a better work-life balance and being generally more available. All of these things that people want to hold on to. So we find ourselves emerging from a monastic corner and wanting to hold on to some things, wanting to change. And I was just thinking, I like this idea of a monastic corner because I'm fascinated by the monastic life. But as I was thinking about that this week, I thought, actually, monks don't live in corners. Monks live in communities. Even those who choose to live in hermitages on their own, they are still part and linked into a community. And how can we as a church be a more monastic community? That's a good question. I'm not going to give you lots of answers. I'm more into raising questions. So these times are strange, aren't they? There are times of uncovering. There are times of lament. And they are times when we've got an opportunity to sort of see things changing in our own selves and across our world. It would be wrong of me not to reference the stuff that's been going on linked to the killing of George Floyd, the protests that we've seen across the world, people standing up and saying that we don't stand for racism. And I, for one, have spent a lot of time this week just examining my heart in that and just confessing before God my own prejudices, my own the bits of me that I don't like. And I would encourage us all to be doing that. Change starts individually, doesn't it? And there's lots of really good stuff out there, lots of good psychological stuff and courses, and Dr. Chatterjee this, and Heart Styles, and all sorts of people who are talking about change and are much more perhaps skilled at that than me. But as I've been praying, I've thought about change, and I've thought, you know, to carry things forward, you have to take action and you have to be intentional. Nigel Stock came up with a really good phrase this week, which I loved. He talked about the fact that at the moment there's a sense of we've pressed pause, but if we just press play again, we'll just be off, won't we? It's about pressing a reset button. So I've got just a couple more things to say to you. I wanted to talk about encounter, and I wanted to talk about connecting with Jesus, encounter with Jesus, connecting, and that out of that place comes the change that perhaps we're looking for. So I wanted to just tell a story, really. So there's this story from ancient times. There's this a woman, and she's we don't know much about her, actually. What we do know is that she's caught in the act of adultery. She's sleeping with another man, and she's caught literally in the act, apparently. And in those days, the way that these things were dealt with, or justice was brought, or sought out, was to take the people involved to the leaders of the time, to the religious leaders, and in this situation, it would be to the rabbis and the teachers. So they grab the people who found her, grab the woman, and they bring her before into the temple courts, where there's a teacher who's been there since the early hours teaching. And they throw her and push her in the middle of the room, of the space, and they say to the teacher, "This is what we found. What are you going to do about it? Doesn't it say that she should be stoned to death?" Gosh, if I was the woman, I'd be thinking, well, my time's up. This is unavoidable. So they all stand there. And the teacher doesn't say anything. He's just kind of doodling in the sand. And this, understandably, is winding up the people who were clamouring for, "Do something, sort it out. So eventually he looks up and says, "Well, okay. Those of you that haven't got any sin, those of you that have never felt an impure thought or desire for someone other than your partner, you know, you chuck the first stone." And then he sort of head down, doesn't say any more. And the woman is standing there, just waiting. And one by one, all the people that brought her there, they just slink off, the eldest first and then the youngest. And she's left standing. And the teacher looks up and he says, and Jesus says, there's no one left to condemn you. And she says, no, Lord. And that word, Lord, she's seen who he is. It's the word for Yahweh. It's the word that means she knew, she saw that this was Jesus, the Lord, not just any old teacher. This is Jesus, the Lord. And he says, well, then, neither do I condemn you. You just go and sin no more. Just go and change. Just go and change your ways. Wow. She encountered Jesus. The woman had an amazing encounter with Jesus, the living Lord. And do you think that she left and thought to herself, phew, oh, that was a lucky close shave. Poof, carry on with life as normal. I don't think so. I think her life changed from that moment when she and Jesus, she saw him eye to eye and saw unconditional love and grace, and she saw the Messiah. So you bet her life changed from that amazing encounter. And for all of us, yeah, maybe we'll have powerful encounters like that in our lives. Maybe there will be life moments when we encounter Jesus just like that. Or maybe it will be a more gentle encounter. But what I know this morning is that Jesus wants us to encounter him. He wants us constantly, again and again and again, encounter him. And I just as I was preparing this, I read these words from an Ignatian woman called Margaret Silf. Some of you may know her writings. And she's talking about prayer, but I think this is, when we say encounter, we mean prayer, we mean our time with Jesus. And it says, prayer is time taken out of the linear journey of our days. And it is also our most profound reality. When we pray, we move inward to our God center, and then we move out again. We don't necessarily come out of prayer transfigured, but usually there's a subtle, gentle, almost indiscernible change in our way of being that will carry its healing, changing power out through the layers of our lived experience and infuse the where of our lives with its kingdom values. And this happens every time we pray, whether we are aware of it or not. So I believe for us as God's people that if we want things to change, we need to seek encounters with Jesus. And one way we do that, and there are many ways, worship, different ways in our lives, is through our devotional times with God. And it's about connecting more deeply with our Lord. And I just wanted to ask you this morning where you're at in that. Where are you at with that? We've talked about it. I think I spoke about it a few months ago about our devotional times. So where are you at with Jesus? How are you at in your times when you come away with the Lord? And for me, I can only talk to you about what God's been speaking to me about. And I've been spoken to really strongly about moving into more of a daily rhythm of prayer, a daily office, if you like. So I regularly, every day, every morning, I sit down and I have a quiet time. We've always called it that, haven't we? A quiet time. I have a time when I reflect, I read. I read our People of God readings. I listen to the lecture 365. I look at other things that I'm led to read. Of course, I read the Word. God's been speaking to me about more. He's saying, I want more from you. And from different sources that somebody is speaking at Wildfires, some other people that I listen to, and you read John Mark Comer, listen to Pete Scazzaro, John Tyson, and they're all beginning to talk about a daily rhythm of prayer, which means settling down with the Lord more than once a day. For me, maybe it means two or three times a day, and that's more that monastic rhythm. But that's for me. I want you to start where you're at. And I think the Lord is just saying to spend a little bit more time, or a different type of time. So you may be somebody who's just who prays while you're driving along in the car and you listen to worship music. You may offer up your prayer on a walk. You may sit down occasionally and open your Bible You may be somebody who's sitting down every day with your Bible. I guess what I'm saying this morning is examine that with God and say, what are you saying, Lord? How can I give more time to you? And how can I do that? Perhaps in a different way. Perhaps I need to change it up a bit. Perhaps it's got very formulaic. Perhaps God's finding it difficult to speak to you because you're boom, 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 doing this, that and the other. I don't know. I'm kind of guessing at you here, but I do know the Lord's saying, just change it up a bit. Spend a bit a different time. And as a leadership team, and we've over the last few weeks or so, we've wanted to give some money. We wanted to sort of sow into some different projects. And we've been able to, from our Vision Fund, we've given some money across to the Meals in Marlow scheme, to One Can Trust, the food bank. And we've also just recently given a donation to Lectio 365, to 24/7. Just because we want to sow into things that are blessing us, we want to sow into things where there's life. And Lectio 365 is an amazing way of just 10 minutes each morning meeting with the Lord. And I got this video message back from Carla Harding, who was thanking us and also wanting to pray for us as a church. So I've just asked him to play this for us this morning, just as I finish.
Paul and Anthea, can I say a personal and heartfelt thank you to you, your team and the whole community at River Church for being so generous and giving to Lectio 365. I'm Carla, I'm part of the Lectio 365 team, and we started this app and this resource with a hope and a dream that we could reignite like the lost art of the quiet time. We could help people pray and meditate on the Bible every single day and build their lives around it. We have been utterly blown away by the unexpected take up of Lectio. We surpassed over 100,000 installs of the app in just 6 months, and now we have the wonderful challenge of keeping going, of keeping this resource that's connecting with so many people as we wrestle with the COVID-19 pandemic and the realities of lockdown, as we face the racial injustice issues that we've been seeing flaring up around the world provoked by George Floyd's death. We want to help people continue to connect with God, continue to connect with his word, and pray about some of these issues and other issues in their lives. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for giving so generously, for partnering with us and helping us to continue. It means so much. I pray that God would continue to bless the River Church community, especially in the quiet time and the spiritual formation and the discipleship of your community. I pray that as they pray and as they read their Bibles, that God would be speaking clearly, be tangibly close and present, and be directing you in how you're loving your community already. Thank you so much.
Amen. Isn't that brilliant? I love that. Reclaiming the lost art of the quiet time. Fantastic. So just to recap then, change comes when we make an intentional step. It won't just happen to us. If we just expect these positive things that are coming out of us being in lockdown just to roll on, then we may have a shock when in 6 more months' time we discover that we're not, you know, we're just as busy as we always were. So change comes not from pressing play, but from pressing reset and from connecting deeply and encountering Jesus deeply. And I also, as somebody who's a therapist as well, would say that change comes from doing some inner work, from looking inside yourself, not just looking at the outside, but sitting with the Lord and saying, what needs to change inside me? What do you need to make me more aware and conscious of that I haven't been aware of, Lord? And that happens when you get into a deep, deep time with the Lord on a regular basis. So that's my encouragement for you this morning. I want to hold on to a different rhythm of life. So I am committed to deepen my walk with the Lord and encounter more and more of Jesus. Are you? So I'd just like to pray for us just before we finish, or I finish. Lord, we don't want to rush out of lockdown straight back into the busy, hurried lives some of us had. Lord Jesus, help us to press reset, not play. Lord, we know that lasting change comes from deep encounters with you. Please help us to trust you with every aspect of who we are, even those deep places no one's seen. And Lord, thank you for your deep peace and rest, that you are so gentle with us, that you are firm but gentle, challenging but gentle, always believing more for us but never critical or pushy. Help us, Lord, to go deeper with you.